Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Man, we got a lot of stuff to cover on today's two-hour radio show spectacular. So button up or fasten your seatbelt, hop on board, let's talk some diving. Are you ready? I think you are. We got to kick it off today, though, a very special guest, Andy O'Day from NAWI. He is the Florida Regional Representative for the National Association of Underwater Instructors, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Andy, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you today?
I am swell. All right. So Andy has done something that's pretty cool. Not just working for NAWI, but actually as a member of NAWI, you participated in a new workshop that you guys are getting ready to offer the world, I guess a few months ago or end of last year. Is that when you guys did this thing?
That's right, Greg. Yeah. So I was invited to participate in the Leadership Rescue Workshop in August of 2016, which was conducted partially out of a NAWI affiliate in Lakeland called Off the Wall Adventures, where we were introduced to Butch Hendrick and Andrea Zaffers.
Very nice. And yeah, and basically what's neat about this program that NAWI is putting on, it's non-denominational. So it doesn't matter if you're NAWI, PADI, SSI, any agency that's certified. This is a workshop that they're executing this year that anybody can participate in, regardless of their, you know, certification affiliation. And the first one is going to happen in Bimini, of all places, one of our favorite places on the planet, Neil Watson's Bimini Scuba Center, March 16th. And what's cool is Andy already has done this. He was one of the chosen few there at NAWI that went through this program as kind of like a pilot. And then you guys decided to take it nationwide and around the world. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Greg. Just to clarify, the course in Bimini is going to be open to dive leaders, so any dive leader from any certification. So not divers, but dive leaders.
That's okay, what, let's say dive master and above thereabouts, or what do you
mean? Dive master, exactly right. Dive master, assistant instructor, instructors, course directors, staff instructors. That's what the course is. That's who the course is targeted. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it is a way to sharpen your skills from an instructor standpoint or a dive master standpoint, or like you said, someone who's really working to get into the industry and work this and do it effectively, and not only protect the people they take diving, but probably protect themselves a little bit, maybe from potential problems or litigation, maybe even in the future. You think?
Yeah, exactly right. So one thing that is noticeable in diving over the years is that dive skills and dive requirements and the amount of time that we teach people to dive has kind of been diluted. And included with that is rescue diving skills. So as a rescue diver and a rescue dive instructor, we kind of repetitively teach the same ideal situations in a rescue diver. He's in a panic situation, he drops his regulator, then very conveniently we're able to put the regulator back into his mouth and we make a safe ascent. And we inflate the BCDs on the surface and everything is rosy in the garden. The reality is that after attending this very realistic hands-on scenario-based workshop, which was conducted in a pool environment, and then we were able to practice it again in an open water environment, what very quickly came to light is, as a dive instructor for 20-something years, how ill-prepared I was for teaching and being involved in a real-life world, you know, full-on panic situation.
Yeah.
So the course was is conducted by Butch and Andrea, who their company, Lifeguard Systems, who now he is collaborating with. These guys specialize in dive accident and fatality analysis. So as NAWI course directors and people who have been in the field and have had, you know, a lot of hands-on experience with this type of dive rescue, these guys are ideal people to, you know, bring situations to a more real-world environment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to learn it in your rescue class, and it's another thing to really master it and know how to react automatically if you got if you're faced a real-world situation where someone needs your help. There's a lot of other factors that go into this stuff. I mean, you learn some of it in your basic rescue, but it sounds like this is that on steroids and really applying some real-world scenarios to an accident to make sure you're properly prepared. Am I right in that assumption?
That's definitely right in that assumption. It also it prepares you to lead and to manage those situations. So as dive leaders, we're not always prepared to control the situation, manage the situation. So this course really gives you the tools and the knowledge and the experience in a controlled environment to handle those situations better as the leader. So that's what it's designed to do.
Got it. So I assume it's like a two-day type of course. It'll be pool, maybe some ocean work there in Bimini, or what's the plan?
Right. It's actually a three-day program, Greg.
All right.
So the way that the Bimini event is going to be is constructed is it's a four-night, three-day event. So 4 nights in the Bimini Big Game Resort. Participants attend 3 full days of tuition from Butch and Andrea. That course includes a certificate of completion and a rescue leadership certification card. It includes unlimited shore dives and tank rentals. But at the end of the day, after spending time with these leaders of the industry, and Lifeguard Systems specialize in working with EMS, the Sheriff's Department, the Police Department, and those guys, they do a lot of ice rescue. So they bring a lot of information to the table that participants of the three-day program, once they walk away from that, they're really going to have an opportunity to elevate their skills. And as we know, if you don't practice these skills and refine these skills, they don't become reflexive. So you're not as well prepared as you could be if you practice them often.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty nice dive package when you look at it. It's one of those kind of learning vacation type of things you could take over in Bimini. Once again, it's March 16th, Friday to Sunday, the 18th. $895 is per person based on double occupancy. So that includes your accommodations and stuff. And by the way, the press release on this is at NAWI.org under the events tab. You can find this in the March events calendar if you're looking for more information on this. But it sounds like just a great weekend to me. I mean, I think that actually that's St. Patrick's Day weekend, by the way. You know that?
Is that right?
Yes.
March 16th, okay.
So they might have to apply some of these skills they learned to use in the water to some of the drunken folks on the streets there in Bimini.
Right. Well, we certainly had an enjoyable experience, but I think everybody who attended that course in August, and we're talking about NAWI board of directors and NAWI leaders and, you know, people who've been in the industry and teaching for a long time, everybody walked away with learning something and rethinking, information that we've been conditioned or allowed ourselves to be conditioned on for so many years. So let me give you a quick example here about gear configuration.
Yeah.
So, you know, making a case for having your alternate air source located on the left side of your body as opposed to your right, which has become more of an industry standard and, you know, nobody really questions it. So it's going to challenge, you know, you may describe it as a little bit of a mini vacation, but participants should expect to be challenged.
Sure. Well, I mean, like a learning vacation. I don't mean, you know, one of those things where you're enjoying the environment, but you're also picking up some really good knowledge to sharpen your skills. And especially, you know, like, I think what you're saying is like people get complacent over the years. And I'm probably in that category as well. I haven't done much rescue stuff in a long time, so I might have to take you up on one of these workshops. It sounds like something that's just, if nothing else, just It's great peace of mind for you individually to sharpen your skills like this. You think?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And, you know, the participants are going to learn to manage, you know, rescue operations. Here's a quick example. So from out-of-air diver bolting situations to watercraft collision with trauma to administering first aid and oxygen on a vessel in choppy seas.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like all across the board type stuff and pretty intensive. So it sounds like they're going to set people up and you're going to have to go save them or find out how ill-equipped you might be or test your skills where they are and sharpen them by the end of it, I think. I think that's what I'm getting the vibe on. Sounds fun to me. I love this kind of stuff, and I think it's great work, you know, that Nowy's putting this out there, not just for Nowy, but for all divers. Great stuff. Well, Andy, thank you so much. Appreciate it, and we will talk to you again real soon, my friend, okay?
Thanks a lot, Greg.
All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Saba St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks, new destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan, Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You're listening to Scuba Radio. 20 years and still sucking.
You suck.
On air.
Hey, come on. That stings.
You can hear it on Scuba Radio. The world's first scuba diving show. From Captain Ron to Jacques Cousteau, they all love Scuba Radio. On the boat or down below, if you want to stay in the know.
You ever think about that? I didn't know.
If you be pressurized there, you'll want to be there on Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And that sounds like a pretty cool event there in Bimini. We're going to see if there's any chance we can get over there and participate, you know, ourselves. Don't know at this point, but once again, if you want more information, just go to nowy.org, click on the events tab, and it's like March 16th there for that workshop. Leadership Rescue Workshop that they're putting on. Sounds like good stuff. All right, so on the web today, connected to the show, I have my good friend Barry the Boater.
Here?
We got Jerry the Diver Guy. How you doing,
What's
Jerry?
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, and of course, Eric Douglas, author extraordinaire. Eric, how are you, my friend?
I'm peachy, Greg.
Peachy. Okay. And that, I guess that's good. He's really snowed in. And
no,
up there,
only about a half an inch or so in the ground. We're not really snowed in, just freaking cold.
I don't know. Who has more snow, Jerry or Eric?
What snow?
Yeah, Barry doesn't. I know. But
you know, Eric's a little bit more north of me, so he can have every bit of it.
Okay. So you have no snow right now, Jerry?
No, I got snow, but it's warmed up. It's melting.
Okay. So it's slushy.
Yeah, well, we had about six, seven inches, somewhere right around in there, but it's going.
Okay, well, good. You know, I know, I see Jerry the Diver Guy is in the, you know, he's in the room there for the Facebook Live broadcast we got going today. Keith is up there, my good buddy Keith. I see Keith Gardner. I see Jimmy. Hi, you know, let's see who
else. Greg, you got a guy on here from Greece.
From Spain. That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, so we're doing this
around
Facebook
the world today.
They're watching me talking, you know, in front of a microphone. It's enthralling video. So hi, guys. And if you want to join us on Facebook Live, you can do that as well. And just look at me. You know, it feels a little awkward from my perspective, but it's cool that everybody's checking it out on the live feed today on the video. That's fun, too. All right. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. So enough nonsense. Let's get to more nonsense. Are you guys ready?
Enough of that nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. We got more nonsense to dive into on the big show today. All right. So, you know, who doesn't like killer whales? Anybody? No, all you guys. Isn't that a dream, Barry, to like dive with an orca or snorkel?
An orca
or something
would be nice.
That would be pretty cool, Jerry the Diver Guy.
As long as I'm not a seal.
You don't want to be a seal in the water with a killer whale. Take it from me. I've seen this. I did that in the Galapagos. I'm very fortunate. I got to actually be in the water with orcas. I didn't know it at the time. They swam behind me, and then I got up on the boat and we followed them along. But they did swim right behind me.
They saw you and they thought there was a toothpick.
Yeah. But, you know, it would have been nice if they were able to tell me they were coming. Well, evidently, there's a killer whale named, like, Wiki or something, W-I-K-I-E, Wiki. It's some park around the world. And the trainers are claiming that they have taught this killer whale to speak. Now, it's making all the viral video things out there. It's not on YouTube and all this stuff. But here is a little sample of what they've gotten Wiki to say. I mean, it's a limited vocabulary, but check this out and see what you think.
Hello. Hello. One, two, three.
Whoa.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so.
You sure that's not Ellen?
Yeah, what do you mean it's not Ellen? Ellen speak like that? I don't watch her show.
No. She was the voice for Finding Nemo.
Oh, I see
what
you're saying.
She was the voice of the...
Dory.
What's that? Dory.
The
Dory.
Tang.
Yeah. And she spoke whale.
She spoke whale. Well, I don't believe... No, that is not Ellen. That is actually a trainer at a park with killer whales. It's not SeaWorld either. I forget where it's at the moment. But you know...
It's Marine Land in Antibes.
Okay. And where's that, Eric? Do we know?
It's... Well, Antibes is... I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It's a French... It's a French protectorate, but it's not in France.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not sure I'm following the whole thing where he says, you know, hello, one, two, three... bye, and it sounds to me like they're having trouble with the translation because I'm not hearing that. Let's listen more closely. Bye-bye. That was bye-bye, right? Okay, so that's the killer whale saying bye-bye. But, let's see. Oh, that was one, two, three. That was the word for three.
That was Greg.
Yeah, and that did that not sound Pinami. Like three to me. And, bye-bye, you know, sounds more different. It doesn't sound like bye-bye to me.
Ha-ha!
Oh, yeah, see? That's what it sounds like.
No, it did sound like bye-bye.
You think so? I think it sounded like Nelson from The Simpsons.
Well, they don't have lips like we do, so how could it say bye-bye? It said hi-hi.
No, listen again.
It was the first time in Zach's life.
No, it wasn't there. Wasn't that? Let's see. This was this one, right? Let's see. I think it's this one.
Hi-hi!
Yeah. See? I think he's doing...
I think he's trying to say howdy-ho.
I think he's going, ha-ha! I think he's doing The Simpsons thing from Nelson in The Simpsons. He's not saying bye-bye.
He's like Mr. Hanky.
Okay, so I don't know. Do you think this is a thing, or this is the dumbest thing we've ever found on the internet this week?
I would say it's something like teaching a parrot to speak. It's just mimicking.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying. They're like minor birds. They have that capability to mimic, you know, what we tell them. You know, is the killer whale, do they know what they're saying? I don't know. But if they do, I think they're making fun of the trainer when they do that. That's what I would think when I hear that, you know? Are you guys with me on this or no? No?
Oh, no, I agree with you completely. They don't have a clue what they're saying. They're just saying, okay, I made that funny noise. Throw me another fish.
All right, come on. Come on, Wiki. Say it. One, two. See, that doesn't sound like three to me. I think he's like, I've had enough of you, and this is what I think of you.
Maybe that should have been number two.
Yeah. You know what? There's definitely something being lost in translation. I think Jerry the Diver Guy got that one correct. Okay, so this is kind of the kind of stuff you learn on this show sometimes that you didn't think you needed to know, right? No comment.
I did not need to know
that. Mr. Know-It-All, we learned about killer whales.
Yeah, if we can only get them to say something to be useful, you know, like...
Howdy-ho!
Yeah, okay. That's a whole different thing. It's not even Christmas time, Jerry. Come on. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Jerry the Diver Guy, Barry the Boater, Eric, author extraordinaire, also connected via the web today. You know, so we're talking about these killer whales, or at least one that they've taught to talk. And he can say hello, goodbye. I'm not sure he's saying that. I think he's saying, ha ha. But one, two, three. Three, I think, is there's a problem with how the whale is saying three. And as Jerry pointed out before the break, that obviously was mistaken for two. Regardless, there has already been some people that have looked at this phenomenon that has went viral on YouTube and Google on this stuff. And, you know, the killer whale that talks, you just, you know, find it yourself and watch the video. That it's a bad thing. That, you know, they shouldn't be teaching these whales to speak. And, you know, like the animal rights people, the blackfish people are freaking out like, oh, no, don't think this is a good thing because, you know, this just makes them look like they should be in captivity. And they can talk in the wild, too. So it's not an excuse to keep them in captivity. I don't know that was really the purpose of them putting out a video that the whale could speak. I think that's just friggin' cool. I mean, whether he knows what he's saying or not, the fact that killer whales can make vocal noises and mimic words, I think is kind of a pretty neat thing. Do you guys dig this or no?
Yeah, it could be, but I have something better.
Yeah? What's that?
The Moody Gardens Aquarium let its entire tank of stingrays choose a winner for the Super Bowl. And for a while, the Rays had it as an even split, but eventually the Eagles won out.
Really?
So these stingrays, well, the Eagle Rays. The Eagles
No.
They say they're going to win the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
All right. So they're, you know, they're helping the the odds makers in Vegas predict the winner of the Super Bowl. Okay. So look, we're finding out all kinds of cool things that our marine critters can do. You just thought they were there for our visual amusement, and now we're finding out much more. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Okay, so, you know, we have all kinds of crazy stuff to dive into today. They just announced the schedule for the Reef Lionfish Derbies. That has always been on my list of things to do, so we're going to get into that here at some point. Lad Atkins is going to join us a little bit, and we're going to talk about that. But, look, it is Super Bowl weekend. You know, Barry the Boater, mentioned that there right before the break, and that always makes me think of that annual question of what is the Super Bowl of diving, you know, as far as where to go. To me, it's pretty easy choice. This doesn't necessarily mean what's your favorite place to dive. To me, when you say the Super Bowl of diving, it's more like what is like the Mount Everest, the place to go that is like challenging and just like off the map sensory overload. And I'll share mine, but in a sec. But what we'll go around the room. Jerry, what do you think? What's your Super Bowl of diving?
Probably Galapagos.
Aha. Did you see my notes? Yeah, no, that's mine.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty universal. Eric, would you agree? What do you think?
That's exactly what came to mind first for me too, actually.
Yeah. And Barry the Boater?
I'd like to try, if I could find a warm enough dry suit, would be like in the Arctic or Antarctic underneath the ice there.
It's
supposed to be crystal clear water for hundreds of feet.
Okay. All right. So you think that's a Super Bowl of diving or just something that's on your list that you want to do? See, that's the difference. If you just take your personal preference, I don't think that counts. And, you know, the Super Bowl of diving is just something that everybody can kind of rally around like, yeah, this is a place that every diver has on their list. And, I think it pretty much is the Galapagos.
I didn't study.
You didn't.
I failed.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you failed. I'm just saying I'm trying to bring it in a little bit. So to find out if indeed that is how everyone feels. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, Barry's
slower. According to Meatloaf.
Okay. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it too. I've been there. But Jerry, and I don't think Eric, you haven't been to the Galapagos, have you?
I have not.
And
it's on the top of my list, but no, I'm not.
Is it one of those things like a Super Bowl ticket? You can't afford it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, because it can get kind of pricey.
Correct for me.
Yeah, it can get a little pricey to get out to Galapagos. I mean, Explorer Ventures runs the Humboldt Explorer out there, and they got a new boat starting to sail at the end of the year. But it's a little bit more pricey than the other, destinations. But, it's not out of the out of reach either. And that's the way to do it, if you ask me. I mean, I've only been once, but I will say I've gone back to that trip so many times in my mind and telling stories. I mean, the killer whale thing. I mean, that's where I saw the killer whales. It was on my trip with Explorer Ventures, in the Galapagos. And they didn't talk to me, but they might as well have. But we saw so many things. And, yeah, I mean, even before then, though, I kind of considered the Galapagos as like, the Super Bowl of diving.
That's big animals. That's hammerhead sharks. That's seals and sea lions. And that's very cool stuff.
It is. You know, the only thing about it is when I went, the water temp was way too cold for me. Now, and there could have been, I could have hit it at a better week maybe and got a little bit warmer water, or I should have really wussed out and just said, screw it, I'm taking a dry suit. And then I would have enjoyed it so much more, even. It would have been unbelievable. So next time I go to the Galapagos, which could happen this year, it might happen. I'm flirting with the idea that I'll go back there and give it another go. Actually, the thing the week I went, it was so crazy, all the stuff we saw. But the visibility was actually down. There was like kind of like an algae bloom or some weird condition going on where the visibility really wasn't ideal. However, we still saw everything you could imagine, from the iguanas, the penguins, the killer whales, the mantas, the whale sharks. I mean, it was just insane amount of life that you see in that part of the world. It's pretty remarkable. On the other side of the coin, it's not for the faint of heart either, when it comes to your diving skills. So, you know, there's crazy currents up, down, sideways. You name it, they got it in the Galapagos. And, you know, it can be a little bit more on the expensive side to get there.
It is an advanced dive, though.
It is an advanced dive. But if you have those skills, it's very rewarding for sure. And once again, I do believe it's kind of like, you know, if you ask 10 divers, I believe the Galapagos would come out number one in that regard almost every time. If you said, hey, what's the Super Bowl of diving? And I just think it's pretty universal. I mean, there's not a lot of question about that. Would you guys agree? Eric, what do you think?
I know, I agree with you. That's top three anyway. The only other ones, only other places that come to mind for me are like Red Sea and probably Cocos Island. But
yeah.
Galapagos is one or two on that list.
Sure. Well, Cocos, known for their sharks and big schools of sharks, for sure. That's what you hear about that. I haven't been there, but I've heard great things about that part of the world in that regard, and it's very picturesque. And believe, you know, wasn't that the island they used for Jurassic Park or something? The original Jurassic Park was Cocos,
oh, I
believe.
I don't know about that.
I thought I remember hearing that years ago.
It's pretty remote too. The problem with it is
long boat ride. Yeah,
it's a long boat ride out there.
Right. So same thing. You probably got to have your skills up to snuff. Yeah. You know, this isn't for like a beginner diver necessarily. I'm not sure about Cocos, but I think the currents can be a little tricky there too. But it's like anything. You prepare accordingly, and when you get to that level and you feel comfortable enough, you can do it. And the other one you were saying was Red Sea. The thing I hear about Red Sea, I haven't been there either, but the one thing I've gotten over the years doing this show from people that go there, they love it. The colors are fantastic. Beautiful color, very bright, a lot of diversity as far as the color is concerned. That's kind of what I hear. Would you agree, or do you think there's more to it than that?
You know, that's what I've heard mostly, too. The one downside I've heard is, and maybe this isn't accurate or has changed, but the fish life is actually not real great. You know, the reefs and that sort of thing are phenomenal, but it's been overfished a little bit.
Yeah.
And so you don't see quite as many bigger animals there. But
Well, it's very popular. I mean, Red Sea, I don't know, especially outside of the United States, the Red Sea is like top of the list,
yeah,
for a lot of people.
It's a big European destination.
Exactly.
Was it more of a micro destination?
Yeah, well, macro, you would like to say, regular speak. Yeah. And maybe.
Regular speak.
I just got to translate sometimes. You know, we got people from
Not
Spain watching
you
us
know,
on
my
Facebook
hillbilly
Live.
Comes out every now
That's
and
okay. I'm just helping. I'm trying to, you know, bridge that gap, translate. Maybe. I don't know. I don't necessarily hear that it's macro in the Red Sea. I always hear color, that it's very, very colorful, water's clear, warm, that kind of thing, and that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, you're not, you know, if you do a trip like that for us in the United States, you know, that's a fun trip that where you'd piggyback, you know, maybe like a tour of the pyramids and stuff like that, right? You'd do something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can't go there and not take in some of the topside culture.
Right.
And that's true for the Galapagos, too. You know, you're not going all the way down to the Galapagos without doing a couple land tours and seeing the iguanas and the
turtles. And, you got to go see the Galapagos turtles, you know.
Yep.
You know, at the little marine sanctuary there. Yeah, the little town that you go in and out of for some of those boats and stuff. It's a pretty unique place.
Aren't there a lot of artifacts in the Red Sea that you can also visit?
Probably. I don't know off what they are offhand, but I'm sure that is the case. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of history all around there, so I'm sure there are some underwater attractions in that regard. You mean like shipwrecks and stuff? Or
well, I don't know about shipwrecks, but I remember seeing something about they found a lot of artifacts from, maybe they were from shipwrecks, but, you know, stuff that can be hundreds or thousands of years old down there.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I would say that's right. But once again, the one thing I hear is the color. I mean, that's the same thing. I hear that in Fiji, too. I mean, that's the one thing Fiji's known for is the color of the reef. And, you know, macro maybe might be an element in that, too. But still, when you take all of those together, the one that seems to come up the most as far as, like, the Super Bowl of, you know, on a diver's list always seems to come back to the Galapagos from the people that I've heard from. You know, and that's 20 years of doing this goofy little show. And it's hard to argue with that. But that doesn't mean it's the best. It just means that that's what kind of comes to people's mind. My favorite dive place is the next one I'm going to. Simple as that. More coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Explore new places, make new friends, do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Don't like scuba people. I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay?
I think you should give it to me.
Scuba,
scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know, baby.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Yes, indeed, they can. And this is the radio show to talk about it. Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, so by the way, a little flashback to last week. I got to give another shout out to my good friend, Dr. Doug Ebersole, who hooked me up to all these wires and put me on a stress test treadmill thing that we did live on the air last week. And it was quite a hoot. I've gotten a lot of feedback on it, by the way. I thought it was interesting how it just timed out perfectly with the first commercial break, by the way, when I was just starting to huff and puff. And I was like, all right, tune in next. Find out if I live. I mean, that was like the best radio tease I've ever done in my life. So, and I did live, obviously, and that was a good thing.
Oh, man, I had dibs on your dive gear.
Yes, I know. There were odds. Their odds makers were, I think it was like, what, 3-1 or something that I wasn't going to make it? Something like that. I forget what was posted at Vegas. But I did make it. And, hopefully people picked up a nugget or two that if you're ever having any kind of heart thing or whatever, or you're feeling a little weird, just go do it. It's no big deal. I mean, Eric's done it a few times. He had a 5-way. I've had a 1-way. And, and we're back and we're ready to rock. We're ready to go do some more diving, And,
taking care of it certainly beats the alternative,
True.
It's nothing serious and then you die. That's not the way to handle it.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Just this week after I did that, I found out I had something in common with Bob Harper, who's the guy from The Biggest Loser. And it's not because I've been called The Biggest Loser. It's Bob Harper, if had a heart attack. He had a heart attack early in 2017 in February. He has a new book coming out, but he's one of the trainer guys from the Biggest Loser TV show. And, he's like the epitome of shape, and he had a freaking heart attack while he was working out or something. And this new book documents that and talks about a new diet that, he actually encourages people to eat carbs, and I don't know what, you can read that for what it's worth. But it was interesting. I saw the article, and he was talking about what happened, and he said, look, I'm in obviously pretty good shape. I'm a trainer, and I had a heart attack. What does that tell you? It doesn't mean that he wasn't doing the right things. It means that it can happen to anyone, and he had that genetic marker that actually clogged up one of his arteries, and it was a widowmaker, which is what I had. I had exactly the same thing he had, evidently. My benefit was they caught it right before I had a major incident. I did not have a heart attack. So I was very lucky what happened to me when they found it. And they found it because I did this stress test as they were looking for some other stuff that I was having some stomach issues, so I thought at the time. So, if anything comes out of the silliness that we did on the air, I hope it's that if you do have any issues, just don't be afraid to go talk to your doctor about it. Like you said, the alternative is not good. Now, the guy from The Biggest Loser, he's doing good. He's writing a book, or he has written a book, and it's out there, and he'll probably make millions from it. So he'll probably do okay, too, I hope.
I think he's hawking a medication, too. I think I've seen him in some commercials for one of the
like CoQ10 or something like that, one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
And I'm sure he is, and that's fine, whatever.
Absolutely. The
CoQ10 is to help relieve the pain if you take a cholesterol medicine. I take Lipitor, and when I was on a heavier medication of it or heavier dosage, you'd get cramps in your legs or in your muscles. So I take the CoQ10 to reverse that.
Okay. And that works for you, I guess, huh, Barry?
It works great.
All right. Well, there you go. If whatever you find works for you, go for it. That's all good. But the thing is, don't ignore any potential symptoms. Sometimes you won't get any. I mean, I did have one. And I was working through it a little bit, and that's when they discovered, hey, it wasn't what we thought it was. It was way worse. But at least they caught it before it became an issue where, I might have been in, actually having a heart attack, which would have been way worse than what happened to me. So, we kid, we joke, and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, if we can do it, you can do it too. And I got through it. Eric got through it. I mean, heck, he had a 5-way bypass, and he's back to diving. So don't.
For the record, this is Heart Month, So, yeah. You know, not just because it's Valentine's Day, it's the American Heart Association really pushes exactly this message. So I'm glad you're hitting on it. It's, you know what, and especially for us divers, for most of us, you know, for those of us who live other than Florida, we're not really diving all that actively right now. But this is a great time to get yourself checked, to talk to your doctor, make sure you're in good enough shape. So when spring hits and summer gets here, you can go dive your brains out.
That's the plan. And, you know, yeah.
It took you and me both about 6 months after surgery to get back to full speed to be able to go diving. So
right.
You know, now's the perfect time to figure it out if you think there is a problem. Get it taken care of, and then get yourself back in shape and get in the water.
That's right. You know, after the holidays and stuff, maybe put on a few pounds. Now's the time to make sure you're working on your physical fitness so you're ready to go when dive season kicks into high gear here, you know, middle of March or beginning of March, or later in the year if you're a Florida warm water wuss like myself. But I'll just fly to someplace warm, so that's all that matters. Yeah, in that regard. All right, look, we're going to find out what the latest is with the Lionfish Derbies that Reef puts on with Ladd Atkins. He's going to join us in an hour or two, and all kinds of other stuff. So stick around. We're just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.